Sherlock. I'm coming to get you.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
I am mine.
I am the law!
Get off my plane.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
John, I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes! I'm gonna shoot you between the balls!
The disease. And I'm the cure.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
There can be only one!
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yippee-ki-yay. I'm going to kill them all, sir.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Give Me Back My Action Movies, the podcast. I am one of your hosts, Charlie. With me, as always, is Nate. Say hello to the people, Nate.
3 goddamn years it took.
Wait, goddamn years. We're going to get there. Okay, Pete, say hi, because he's Pete. already on his head. There he goes. We brought a special guest because I kind of knew Nate was going to be a little spicy at the start, but we brought Troy back.
Yeah, we totally, hello, guys. Definitely knew Troy was going to be here tonight, and most certainly did not go, Troy's coming.
Yay, surprise!
Yeah!
This is the only way to surprise the host that runs the podcast, you know. Wait, who's coming? Okay.
Yeah. It's the best kind of surprise.
Oh, I should have put my name as Leviathan.
Yeah, right? Would help.
See? Totally works. But no, we are all four together for a very momentous occasion. The second time Jackie Chan's going to appear on the podcast.
It's about time.
What do you mean the second time? This is the first time.
Nope. Jackie Chan has been on the podcast already.
Was Jackie Chan on the cast?
Someone forgot that Jackie Chan appears in Fists of Fury with Bruce Lee.
I mean, being a stunt double, does it count? I'm talking about a lead actor.
He was also one of the students in the dojo fight. So there you go.
You're reaching, sir.
This is the second Jackie Chan. Okay, fine. It's the first leading movie Jackie Chan's done on our show in over 3 years.
That is a bit shocking.
It is really, really sad.
It's been requested, and we still didn't
do it. And we ignored you. You're an audience member that requests shit. No one tells DJ Request what to play.
I don't even remember who it was. I don't know. We just gotta let Nate do Nate. Okay, that's all we have to do.
I remember in there was a movie where a guy was named DJ Request, and they told him what to play, and he said, "No one tells you, no one. They will push you." It's a real thing.
Okay, it's a real thing. We believe you. Tonight we are covering Police Story, because this is May of. We don't care. There's no theme.
I like these type of months.
it has been a
We're
lot
allowed
of fun.
To we've, do whatever we want.
We've right? just watched some things we just wanted to watch, and it even sometimes doesn't even quite fit, but this one certainly does.
This was a Pete pick.
Yeah. See, I can pick good movies.
See, I was so... I could not remember which one of you actually picked this, because I literally went... We have an opening. Nate said something about, we haven't done Jackie Chan yet. And I went, we have an opening. Go pick one. And then the two of you went back and forth. None of my requests were even thought about on my picks for Jackie Chan.
I'm sorry that Rush Hour 1, Rush Hour 2, and Rush Hour 3 were ignored.
No,
I also put Shanghai Noon. I put Shanghai Nights.
Picked the Tuxedo.
I picked the Tuxedo. I have given so much gold. Nothing
and
from
then
you guys.
Pete gave the stink eye to Rumble in the Bronx for some reason.
No, it was Rush Hour.
It was during Rumble in the Bronx. You went, oh,
I don't remember.
Yes.
That.
And then I think Charlie and I were left here confused, and Troy's nodding like, yeah, that sounds like Pete.
Was this on Is this on recording? Can we pull it up?
No, the, I wish we did record yeah. a lot of the stuff we need the receipts here.
Right.
I think it was because we were like, what's going to be our first Jackie Chan? And Pete didn't think Rumble in the Bronx should have been our first one. I think that was the whole argument he had towards it. So they come to a consensus. Pete tossed out Police Story, and we are doing Police Stories. So, I was worried that once again, it would have landed on a Pete pick. I wasn't going to get a trailer. I watched trailer after trailer.
Oh, no Americanized trailer.
Really? Are you kidding?
I found the international trailer finally. And all I'm going to say is, this is just for you guys, okay? I don't want any bitching. I don't want any complaining about this trailer because I found an English trailer. So here you go.
Jackie Chan.
Hold it.
Dynamic. Dauntless. Resourceful. A ladies' man. He's no average cop, but he gets the job done. At first, he was hailed as a hero.
Lock him in the cells.
Yes, sir.
Book him. For murder.
Until he got set up.
Get in!
Now his whole police precinct is after him. To clear his name, his only chance is to get the crooks who framed him. Jackie Chan is a one-man battalion. As he sets his record straight in Police Story.
I don't want to hear one word.
That was awesome. So awesome. I'll be right back. I got to take a shit so badly.
I understand. That trailer was longer than the movie.
Oh, Nate really has a shit.
Nate really- Bye, Nate.
He really took off to go take a shit. I thought he was doing a bit.
I don't know if we should just keep going and just wait for him to show back up. I'm not 100% sure.
We should keep going. Let's see. So Nate is...
Did the trailer hurt you that much, Nate?
It's pretty early to be playing that already.
Right?
I might imagine you, will you?
We barely got past the trailer. Nate's like, I gotta go
through the trailer.
I'm surprised you waited. You could have just messaged saying later.
You could have gone and the trailer would still be playing if you would have gotten around right? the beginning
yeah.
of
it.
That's true.
Yeah, totally would have been safe. But hey, I found one and it's in English. Damn
Good
it.
Job.
So. Yay me. All right, boys.
That was a trailer, all right.
That was. Let's do our other things that we do here. So, Pete, you picked this.
Yeah.
What's your first memory of Police Story with Jackie Chan?
I don't remember the first time I saw this. It's been a long time ago. I went through when I lived on Bethel Road. I think I've talked about it was called the Video Connection or something across or north. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. And I was bartending at the time, and I would just, on my days off, I'd walk across the street, rent a movie, and I'd finish that movie. I'd walk back and get another one, and usually the same person was still there. They go, oh, you done with that one? Yeah, just pick out another one. Don't worry about it. and I do that a couple times a day. And they had a nice kung fu section, and I went through the Jackie Chan, the old ones, that is, the Drunken Master. I can't even remember all.
Or he's got like a million different films from the 70s, you know.
And fell in love with them. Back in high school, I saw Rumble in the Bronx and Rush Hour and a few of the others that he was in. Of course, Cannonball Run, one of my favorites. I think that might be where I first saw Jackie Chan. But yeah, it's been a while. It's incredible. This movie is batshit. And I'll just leave it at that. Save the rest for later.
Fair enough. All right. Nate's still gathering himself up here. So, Troy, what about you, bud? When was the first time you saw Police Story?
You watched.
First time I saw this movie, Police Story, was at probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock today. So that's what I use this podcast for. Is like, hey, I've never seen that one. I've always wanted to see it. Hey, I want to be on that episode, guys. Is that cool?
Hey, I have an excuse now to really talk about the nostalgia that I have for this 3 hours ago.
Yeah, man. Back in the day before I ate my dinner. Oh, those were heady.
My
day,
back
heady
hurt
times.
Just a little less back then.
It's like I can remember every scene vividly. All right, Nate, you ready? What's your history with this?
It probably would have been shortly after the DVD release came out that Dragon Dynasty used to do. Back when you would have, The Protector was one of them. I have the Hard-Boiled. I don't have the Killer. But it basically, Dragon Dynasty was this, you know, they remastered or, you know, gave these kung fu movies life again for the DVD era. And I remember picking up Police Story. And I want to say it might have been shortly after Dad and I had rented New Police Story, because I had never seen the first one. I was like, oh, well, shit, it's out now. It's easy to access. Might as well pick it up. And then time that Super Cop was a sequel, First Strike was a sequel, because those were the American titles to it. And then at the time, New Police Story technically was the fifth film in the franchise. I still haven't seen the sixth one. That's the only one I haven't seen out of all of them.
The Police Story 2013 or something?
I think it's called Lockdown or something like that. Lockdown. It came out, I think, in 2013 or something
that.
That
sounds right.
So it's supposed to be a very gritty.
End, though. Yeah,
New Police Story is like dark.
Yeah.
It's not as Three Stooges-esque humor like you see in this one. So it's always been one of those, I've been wanting to watch this again for a while and just have it. So thank you, Pete. What about you, Charlie?
Apparently last night was the first time I watched this movie.
Nice.
Wow.
And it's weird because normally if you'd asked me, I'd have been like, yeah, I've seen Police Story. I mean, it's no. I knew the big stunt, but the nearest I could figure was I've seen it on a highlight reel of greatest action moments or something akin to that. But I'm sitting there watching it last night going, I got no memory of this movie whatsoever. I'm pretty sure the one I'm probably thinking of would be Super Cop.
Probably.
That's the one I'm probably thinking about, because again, where I grew up, the kung fu movies we had would have been a handful of Bruce Lee's and maybe some of the ones as Jackie Chan got more popular. Cause I do remember Rumble in the Bronx. Rumble in the Bronx is probably my first introduction to Jackie Chan.
Oh, same. I feel like for most of us, that was
the
big American title.
Yeah. Cause
it was successful too, if I remember.
Yeah, it's super successful. I do kind of remember vaguely that he was in Cannonball Run 2, but not everybody watches Cannonball Run. He was in the second. I thought he was only in the second one.
He's in both of them.
Because he used that one to end his Warner Brothers contract.
Oh, did he?
To get out of it. Yeah, he really only wanted to shoot in China.
Richard Kiel, was it? Who was Jaws? Is that Richard Kiel? It's not Richard Kiel, is it?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember name of him, but that would have probably been the only time I maybe saw him but didn't know who he was. And so, yeah, Rumble in the Bronx and then just grabbing them as I can until he got popular here, you know, with the Rush Hours, the Shanghai Noons. I did see like Jackie Chan's First Strike, you know, when they, the Americanized one was like, put Jackie Chan's face right on the cover and I mean, some kind of action happening behind him. That's every Jackie Chan VHS cover I remember.
Yeah. Operation Condor is technically, I think, Project A Part 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I had no way to know what
there's
movie
so
was
many
watched.
That have, you know, the American title, and then you have the ones that he dubbed, and then you have the ones where he didn't dub, and you're like, that's not Jackie Chan. Stop it.
it's so weird, man. And then I was reading that he did Police Story 1 and 2. And then an American company was trying to option him to do a third one, but all they wanted to do was edit part one and part two together to make a third movie. And he was like, no, I don't. You're not.
Thank God he said no to that.
He really is. And I applaud him for it. He takes no, he doesn't. I think early on, there were a lot of directors that would take control away from him as far as his stunts were and his fight coordination was, but later on, like, no, I am the expert here. There's none of your people can do as well as I can to direct this action scene,
right?
Especially these fight choreographies.
And then, you know, we get this one, which he technically directed this movie. I think there was one other assistant director with him,
something like that. But he made this out of spite because he did a movie called The Protector over here in America a couple years before this, and he hated it. And he's like, that's not how you utilize me. That's not how you utilize like a story. So he made Police Story as a response. And
well, I'm sure you get to like a major studio and they're like, I don't know if I want to risk my multi-international star on jumping off the third story of a mall and sliding down a pole, and they probably just didn't have the stomach to make
those. I
think you're
absolutely right. Like,
I agree.
I think the insurance companies
the insurance,
and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. We're just like, no.
No, you are not going to do that. Sorry.
Which is probably why I wanted to make all of his stuff in China. He's like, they'll let me do whatever I want to.
He's damn near a god over there. There's probably an idol of Jackie Chan over there. I mean, he's probably more popular than the emperor. Like, seriously.
No,
like,
definitely. I mean, this is kind of what catapults him into that next level of superstardom. Because right after this is Armor of God and Project A and you know,
Drunken Master is shortly after
into
this, isn't it? Or
Drunken Master 2 is...
Well, Drunken Master 2 was the American version, right? That was Legend of Drunken Master?
So you have Drunken Master, which is the one from the 70s. And then he did do a sequel in the early 90s. That's the legend. It's got like the white cover and his face on it.
He plays a teenager and he's 35 or something.
We could do an entire podcast about Jackie Chan movies and how they interconnect. And
there's still so many that I haven't seen because he just puts out so many that like on my watch list, I keep adding more. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. I'll eventually get around to it.
They're right now. Because I watched Rumble in the Bronx the other day. I think there's at no less than 5 Jackie Chan movies on Tubi. HBO has like 4 or 5 right now because they kept like Police Story 2 was on.
Yeah, they
there
got one called Miracles I've never even heard of.
Miracles.
Adding that to the list.
So I was like, if you want a Jackie Chan movie, apparently you just search it and it's on there. But yeah.
But no, when you search it, you do have to karate chop your controller and or keyboard to be able to make it play properly.
Is that what you have to do?
Yeah, that's how I got Police Story to work on Max. Took a lot of karate chop in the Xbox controller to get it to, you know, play.
That's all right. It's all good. So I'm going to start on a little controversial here. I love Jackie Chan. I love Jackie Chan stunts. This is a 10 as far as Jackie Chan stunts go. I did not like this story whatsoever in this movie.
The middle part where it becomes a courtroom drama.
Where it's Matlock? It's Matlock in the middle of this movie?
Which just, I don't remember that happening.
Neither did I, Nate. I was like, what is going on here?
Granted, I have not seen this in a very long time, but like in my head, I was like, this is boom, boom, boom. Because I just recently watched Police Story 2 for the first time. And I was like, man, part one's way better. It just has more go for broke stunts. And it does.
It does.
But Police Story 2 does technically have more action. It's just a little bit more tame because they're like, well, we almost killed him in this one. So let's not almost kill him in this in part two. But yeah, like it starts out on an 11. I mean, this movie's opening is the equivalent of some movies like finales where you
I immediately went Fast and Furious ripped off this movie.
It sure did.
Bad Boys 2 ripped off the entire ending of this movie.
It, where they're running the cars through the favelas in Fast and Furious, and they're basically doing that here, but they're not the favelas. They're in some kind of small town, and it's literally, we're just going to plow three cars all the way down a hillside through people.
While people are crawling around on the buildings that they're about ready to crash, 72 people had to have died in that.
Right?
That was ridiculous.
I have no idea, but I was also watching this going, okay, this is pretty cool action. What is all this now? Because we get to this guy who is freaking out about being in a shootout, and he has a mental breakdown, and then apparently pisses himself.
Yeah, he does.
And Jackie Chan reloads his gun and gives it back to him and says, I need you right now. And I'm just like, what the hell am I watching?
He needed the backup fire.
And the music score chosen for this movie? Come on. Like,
that's very 80s Hong Kong, though. Yeah. Like, super spastic and just kind of all over the place. And
it was like I was watching an episode of Chips. That's what I felt like watching. I was waiting for Ponch to show up on a fucking motorcycle and just that mane of hair come out whenever he did it. And then all of a sudden,
that perfect smile.
Then Jackie Chan's on a motorcycle about the time I'm thinking about that. And I was just like, oh my God. It was. So I was worried. I'm glad you guys are reacting the way it is, because I was like, Jesus, man, this thing's like considered one of his greatest. It's one of his favorites, which if you're a director, I get there's a little bit of like, yeah, that's my favorite. I did it.
It was also first, wasn't it?
Yeah, first directorial debut.
I feel like there's a lot here to be proud about.
Starred, yeah.
Yeah, but I was also worried because I watched Rumble in the Bronx this weekend. Before I watched this one, I went, oh, did I taint myself? Like, did I really, like, really hurt myself by watching what I consider?
Trust me, when I was watching it, I was like, Rumble in the Bronx definitely has way more action than Police Story.
I was really scared.
I started
like,
to get nervous
shit.
Once we were in the courtroom. I went, are we going to have anything else to talk about? Because my memory is there's a lot of fights and they ain't happening. And then they finally happen in the last 20 minutes of the movie. But
okay,
you got to get through a lot of silly story. Now, there's a great joke in here in the courtroom. Fantastic setup for the entire punchline of he surprises or gets surprised for his birthday. His girlfriend gets mad at him, shoves the cake into his face, and another person shoves a cake in his face. Then the woman that he's watching, you know, she sits on the cactus. Uh-huh. There's a lot of double entendre, but then they play that audio in the courtroom and it's hysterical. I don't care what anyone says. I was dying.
Set it up beautifully earlier by recording that whole thing.
And the joke is great. Yes. But I also could not understand the tone of this movie. Are you a serious cop drama? Apparently, are we now a courtroom drama? Or are we Three Stooges, Charlie Chaplin?
Because but it makes sense with Jackie Chan because he's always doing something kind of wacky.
I want to agree with you because watching other movies, that fits. What he tried to do with this one, I don't like the over-the-top comedy he added into it. Like when they moved tiny speakers out of the courtroom to bring in Marty fucking Fly's big speakers from Back to the Future. And then he goes, you must turn it up really loud because it was very small recorder.
Very quiet recording.
I was like, what does the size of the recorder have to do with the recording? The joke is funny. I'm also laughing that they're wearing powdered wigs, apparently, over there. Yeah,
is that a thing?
Yeah. They do in England. I don't know.
You ever
want to
know where tradition is usually bullshit and really stupid? It's this. Don't do that. It's fucking dumb. So anytime you're like, we should do this because of tradition, no. You don't gotta.
It just kept me off balance.
All I can think of is Jackie Chan had such a bad experience in America with the Protector that he wanted to throw the kitchen sink into a movie. He wanted to put everything. I'm going to show you what I can do. I can direct. I can do these stunts.
I can do the choreography of the fights
to human life and safety. I can do comedy. I can do seriousness. I can write a story. I think he's just trying to do everything.
I think you're right, Pete. Because...
in one movie to show the world that, look, I am a diverse and legitimate artist who deserves credit. Respect my authority.
I mean, I get it. I do. It's just doesn't, for me, when watching it going, if I want funny Jackie Chan, give me a movie with awesome stunts, funny Jackie Chan.
And that, Owen Wilson going, whoa, wow.
I enjoy this movie. Wow. But I'm talking about just
you're
regular.
You're doing stunts.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stop it.
You could do that with your feet? I'll just shoot him.
How you say Mushu? I want Mushu.
Whoa, what if we're in the same movie together? We'll call it Rush Shanghai.
Rush Shanghai. I'd watch it.
I would watch that.
Jackie Chan, if you're listening.
Rush Shanghai.
Rush Shanghai, okay? Shanghai Hour. Any of the...
I'd watch that too. That's the sequel.
That's the sequel. I love it. That's the sequel.
The part that's the most jarring is you go with all the wacky comedy that is sprinkled throughout the movie, and then you get to the point where he has been framed for murder and how serious Jackie Chan gets. You know, like pointing
that's
the gun
what I'm talking
at
about.
His superior. And it's just like, am I watching the same movie? Because this just took a dark left turn.
I wanted that earlier in the movie.
You want New Police Story then, because New Police Story is fantastic, but it is straight dark the whole time. So
it needed to be the big bust at the beginning, started out big. That bus scene, loved it. Like, I was glued to the television with him holding onto a bus with an umbrella.
Oh my God, dude.
Is there an action scene in history better than that opener?
Honestly, I don't know. Although I was
I don't remember.
Dude, Super Cop is him and Michelle Yao basically going, I'll one up you, and him going, I'll one up you. And you're watching it going, someone's going to die. And I know the movie's over and the movie's like, you know, 30 years old, but like, please stop.
I had a laugh out loud moment at the beginning of this movie because this whole big gunfight breaks out. Like, they're found out and they just start shooting. And I'm like going, they're not aiming at anything. No one is. They are running. It basically looked like little kids shooting guns up in the air. And I'm like, these are cops. What are they? And then they say in the script, hey, we are supposed to look where we're shooting from now on to minimize civilian deaths. And I'm like, you even know you're not looking where you're shooting.
You even know you messed up.
And I just cannot get over it. Not to mention, then I watch a man piss himself. And then we get a really cool like car chase into the bus scene, which I was there for, man. I was like, this is badass. This is what I was expecting. It gets a little bit where we get into the police headquarters, and
I like that because he's just a normal police guy. He's not like the super, you know, cop that he becomes. Like, he is just a normal dude, and they do all this promotional video and pictures with him.
That was so funny.
Silly. Yes,
it was so silly. Open your mouth.
Leaning into the chief, bigger, and, like smiling. Bigger. She's like, stop get away from me.
I love Uncle Bill because apparently that guy is Uncle Bill in every movie Jackie Chan puts him in.
Oh, is it?
He's Inspector nice. Bill in this, but he's because he's the uncle in Rumble in the Bronx. Because no I kept way. Looking at him going,
that's why he looks so damn familiar.
I was like, I know that. So I looked him up because I was like, well, how many movies has he done? And all of his film credits say like Uncle Bill, Uncle Bill, Uncle Bill, Uncle Bill.
They really do. He just plays Bill.
I'm telling you, it's right there on IMDb. It was funny. So I was like, okay. And then a lot of times you'll see his stunt crew are also characters in movies. So you'll be like, okay, I know that guy from this movie and this guy from that movie. Mm-hmm. And then I'm lost even more when the planned attack on the witness of the guy in the closet, because I went, oh, yep, there's always a man in the closet. You have to check the closet. He come running out and Jackie's like, is that wish.com Michael Myers? What is going on? And I'm like, this is the worst killer on the planet. And he's like, he doesn't know how to stab someone. And then I'm let in on the joke of it's a setup to scare her. And then I start laughing my ass off because she's smacking the shit out of him.
Oh, with I love when she keeps hitting his head and then Jackie trying to like make it look like the guy is still conscious and fighting him, holding him by like the waist of his belt.
He
and
just like, oh,
he's still choking me.
Yeah, he weakened at Bernie's ass.
Bernie's right.
And he's like, oh, he's still moving. And she goes, I'll take care of it. And lifts up that fucking pillar that gets ready to crash his head in. I was like, what am I watching right now? That's also when I was like, I've definitely never seen this movie. I would have remembered all of this had I ever seen this movie. Troy, you also just watched this as like I did. What's your take so far going on into this?
It felt like a Jackie Chan film to me. I mean, like, and they all, most of his films usually have, like, joke, fight, joke, and there's usually something serious because he feels like he needs to get back and like, there's, I haven't seen a ton, to be perfectly honest. I've seen all the Drunken Master ones because I really love those. I saw Rush Hour because everybody did in the 90s. But it felt very Jackie Chan. Like I do know what you mean. Where at the end it goes very serious. Like I was really surprised when he's dragging the supervisor out at gunpoint through all of his buddies, and he's like, "I trust you all, but I can't count on you." and then he takes off with him. But
oh, I love the line of like the law is only for rich people who can afford lawyers or something like that. That like
I was with him at that. Like, I was still like, he's not wrong, but
no,
I was just like, we were laughing at goofiness not 20 minutes ago, and now all of a sudden I'm in like this hard grit NYPD blue episode all of a sudden. You know,
how many cakes could you have smashed into your face in one party? Like, how many cakes did they bring to this party?
It was like four cakes because there was one that never got smashed in his face. I saw.
I was waiting for it though.
The fat guy saw the cake going, don't mess with that one.
You got to save one.
But yeah, and the whole silliness of, you know, the girlfriend getting mad at him because he brought home a female witness. There was a joke,
lingerie.
I'm going to say the joke here, and you can get mad at me all I want. And he's getting mad at her, and he's going, she would have been just as mad at me if I brought home a guy witness, and she'd have thought I was gay. And I lost my shit. I thought that was the greatest line in the movie.
He's taking a shower and he's just complaining the whole time. And she came back into the apartment, listening to everything. Then the phone, the phone doesn't even ring or whatever. He picks it up, acts like he's talking to her, only to realize that she's behind him the entire time.
Yeah. It was like a Three's Company episode all of a sudden, you know? And they're just,
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of phone humor in this, actually.
He's holding the phone when she smacks him with the other cake, and then he peels it off, and there's the outline of a phone.
Yes. You have him talk to his girlfriend at one point. They're on a hill, and the vehicle doesn't have a parking brake. It doesn't work. So he's like, just hold on to the car.
Yes.
She does it. So then he's on the phone, on a payphone, and the car comes crashing down. He has to move her out of the way. And then you have the four phones ringing at once, which I was dying over.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's so Three Stooges of we're going to have Jackie Chan in a chair roll around and answer four phones and get them all mixed up on who he's talking to.
What was going on in that scene?
What did he get transferred to another? Like all of a sudden he's in this other department.
Taken off the case.
Yeah,
he's taken off the case, and he's on another department, and everybody leaves, and he has to answer every phone in the entire building.
So the one dude has to go take a shit, and you see him take, like, books with him.
Been there.
And then, yeah.
That's topical.
Speaking of, and he's trying to make ramen, which I was laughing at, and the girlfriend calls, and there's, like, five phones in this office, and he has to keep answering each one, and they all get crossed. Some girl's like,
I'm being raped, right? Yeah.
And he's like, you're the one that takes priority. I lost a cow. Send a picture. And hangs up. And someone else calls for something else. And then I'm being beaten. Oh, okay, hold on. Well, are you being raped right now? And she's like, it was a year ago. Why you tell me now? Yeah. And hangs up. And
your husband's
just
still
like,
beating you. No, I'm waiting to find my cow.
What? I love that he hangs up one phone, but he hangs it on the wrong base, so he's hung up on the rape victim. Like, and so then he's like, "Wait, which one of you was raped?" And he's, oh my God, it was insane.
And he goes, "You should go get a morning after pill and take as many as you can." And it was talking to his girlfriend, and she goes, "No, you have your mother take morning after pills," and then hangs up. And he's like, "My mom's not pregnant. Why does she need morning?" What is happening here?
When it reveals that he has now hung up all the phones on the wrong receiver.
He just goes through and takes them all off the hook because he just wants to eat his ramen noodle. Yeah, he just unhooks all of them.
Which he does with pencils. Which disturbed the hell out of me that he was using the eraser end of the pencil to eat it. And then he eats the eraser.
And another phone rings. Are you with us, audience? A lot of phones ring, and Jackie Chan eats erasers in this movie.
I wanted the movie to be like this. Awesome action, silly scenarios, and just get wacky. And then it goes utterly left field with the seriousness of the movie. That's what really was so jarring to me watching this going, I don't think I liked that type of movie direction that he's trying to do, because I mean he goes fucking Oscar at the end of the movie
he does,
like Jesus. But I mean I'm having fun because after so long there is some really good action sequences and some fight choreography, which is amazing. You know, that's what I'm watching a Jackie Chan movie for anyway, is stunts. Dude,
there's a stunt in here where he throws the one girl off the rooftop into a pool. And you see the entire thing. It's just like, that could have gone wrong in so many different ways on the projection of where the building A is to where the pool is down below. Like,
there's some distance from that roof to the pool.
That was the pool below you 10 stories down or something.
Aim for the bushes.
Aim for the bushes. I looked at Jackie during that whenever she's like, I'm not jumping. And there's guys shooting through the door. And I went, that is the moment in the zombie apocalypse that I get mad at you about. Because you're not listening to me. When I say jump. Okay?
No,
yeah, exactly. I'm not jumping.
I'm not doing it. Great. Now the zombies have broken through. Now you have no choice but to jump. I'm not doing it.
Well, then I'm jumping. Okay? You do you. I'm jumping. And then there was a moment where the girlfriend got mad at him that I love that whole little shtick that she's trying to run off on the moped and he grabs her backpack and jerks her off the thing, ass straight to asphalt. The moped kept going down a little bit.
Did you see the blooper at the end where he yanked her so hard her shoes flew off?
Yes.
No. Wow.
They actually left one of the takes that she lost one shoe. It happens in the movie, but she loses both shoes in one of the bloopers because he's like trying to help her put the shoe on when she's storming off and she stays in character the whole time, which was fantastic.
I had to keep rewinding because I wanted to know, was that the same actress? Like, are all of the stars in this also stunt people? Because like,
so Maggie Chung has been in a ton of badass kung fu movies as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, and she's like, utilized throughout the Police Story movies too as his girlfriend who's always getting pissed off at him.
Because the next scene where he lifts the moped up and she's trying to gun it and she's like, let me go.
God.
And puts it down and then she's holding on to it. And like, I'm like, oh my God, that was impressive. That was a great gag too.
It really was. The way she was able to still kind of hold on to it and keep going. That was also when I went, yeah, that's
hasn't been on a moped that they held the accelerator down a little too long. Like, as you're running
I did it on those scooter, you know, those Lime scooters.
Oh yeah.
I've done that with that.
Yeah, I put my feet down, guys. I don't know why that was.
No, tall. See, the problem with the Lime scooters is alcohol in your brain go, I could bet I could ride that.
You know what?
Fine.
He got you, he got you on a technicality. He got you on a technicality on that.
I also want to try that.
But I did read though that even like if you're not a stunt person, Jackie Chan's pretty adamant that even actors should be doing stunts. It was also a thing of contention filming here. Because he'd be like, why are they not doing a stunt? It would look better if whatever actor or actress he's working with is like, if they're actually doing the stunt, this works better. And we're, like we were talking about, we're more mindful of hurting the talent. But Jackie Chan's like, you're going to be in my movie, you're going to see some shit. And we're going to see you do that shit too. So
why isn't totally Chris Tucker jumping off the building? Come on.
He did some stunts, not all level, you know, but he got a little bit more physical on things. I think Owen Wilson did too. There was a few that he got as far as they probably could.
Mm-hmm. As far as he was comfortable with.
Is that a real horse?
What if Tom Cruise and Jackie Chan make a movie? Who would outdo the other?
Why haven't Tom Cruise and Jackie Chan done a movie together? That's an amazing idea.
So that's the best part. Like, Fawn comes home and there's a, you know, the last 10 minutes of the movie is on. I was like, oh, you're about to see the stunt that nearly killed Jackie Chan. And, you know, it happens. And they're just like, holy shit. And like, well, now I want to see what other like dangerous stunts there that, you know, have been pulled off in film.
Oh, yeah. Fawn wants to see more.
What is the other what other deadly stunts are there? And like, there's three of them right in a row was all Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible. And I went, yeah, he's kind of a fucking crazy psychopath.
Every movie he tries to up himself.
And I gotta say, seriously, these Mission Impossible movies are pretty awesome.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them, man. They're great. They're great.
I may not agree with the religious aspects of one Tom Cruise. And
doesn't bother me none.
Not being a part of his daughter's life. Whatever.
Yeah.
But Mission Impossible movies fucking kick ass.
Man's a good movie star. I enjoy some Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you think of movie star, that is...
He's a movie star.
He's the guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is the movie star. All right, boys. Well, I think now's a good time for us to take a quick commercial break. What do you say?
No.
We're not listening to you, Pete.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Are you in search of a refined and elevated podcast?
One where you can sit back with a cup of tea and indulge in the finest film cinema has to offer?
One where precision and polish comes before anything else?
Well, you've come to the wrong place.
We are Cinema Slab!
A podcast where we let our nerd flags fly and review our favorite movies and shows, new and old.
We're all besties.
And one brother and sister.
And we love discussing movies with each other. Whether it's a record-breaking television show that has us glued to our TVs every week.
We're like private investigators, except for no one hired us or asked for our help.
An ooey-gooey practical effects-filled horror movie.
Or a cult classic masterpiece.
You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
We're sure there's something for you on Cinema Slab.
I'm your Scream Queen, Anna.
Yeah, you're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
I'm your gore gal, Hannah.
I kick ass for the Lord.
And I'm your favorite little brother, Hunter.
I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this couch.
And join us each week on Cinema Slab
as we bond together over our love of cinema
and all things media and entertainment related.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Flicks and Friends podcast. I'm Dustin.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Sean.
Join us each week as we sift through movies and discuss a variety of theme months and determine whether they're blockbusters or blockbusted.
Previous themes include Animation Month, 80s Horror, and under 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, just to name a few. We have weekly guests, fan favorites, and new guests happen all the time over here. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
But until next time, I'm still Dustin.
And I'm still Paul.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the Flicks and Friends Podcast.
We now return to the Transformers.
Well, guys, I'm feeling a whole lot better because I thought I was going to be like odd man out tonight and I was going to be like Nate during Deep Star 6. you know, it's because I really was. I actually watched this a second time today just because I was like, okay, maybe I was tired. Maybe I just really wasn't getting it. And I watched it again going, action's still awesome. Story is just nonsensical tone throughout. Like the story is okay. Fair.
It's a very standard, you know, police movie, I guess. Like there's a bad guy. He gets away with it. We must get the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. With pies being thrown in faces and a dude pisses himself.
If there's anything that, you know, The Wire was missing, it was pies getting thrown in the faces.
It's my favorite episode of The Shield, honestly, is, you know, the giant pie fight. It was amazing.
Yeah, when Michael Chiklis was all like, food fight, or no, he had all of this mashed potatoes in his mouth and went, what am I? And then he went,
yeah, no, oh, he went running around going, it's cobbler time.
That was a really bad The Thing joke right there. I, for one, Michael Chiklis is not my The Thing. I put that on record.
You don't have a The Thing then if he's not your The Thing.
Exactly. I'm pretty much in my head. There's only one Fantastic Four movie, and it was produced by Roger Corman.
Roger Corman in the 90s.
Which is kind of sad that three other movies exist and are worse.
It's still the best one, the Corman.
Still never watched the latest one, and I never will.
It's bad.
I haven't the one with Silver Surfer. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
No, the one after that, the reboot.
The one after. Yeah.
There's the one where they're at,
yeah.
Directed by Trask.
It was trash. Apparently, I don't know.
Michael B. Jordan was in it.
Yeah, he was probably the best part of it because he was the Human Torch.
The kid from Top Gun Maverick, wasn't he? Reed Richards.
Oh yeah, Miles Teller.
Yeah, Miles Teller.
Reed.
Yeah.
So was
one of the Roonies
and Johnny Storm not brother and sister in that latest one?
I think they're adopted or something like that. Oh,
okay. They explain
the
it.
The point
in there.
Is, it doesn't exist in my head. It's not. Never happened.
I'm not gonna watch.
You know what did happen? A lot of Police Story movies. Those all happened.
A lot of Police Story movies.
A lot.
Also, did they have a problem with glass in this movie?
Oh, dude. Glass is the mortal enemy of Jackie Chan.
Oh, my God.
This is all sugar glass from what I read.
So yeah. I read that, but because they wanted it to look more realistic, they doubled the thickness, which made it more dangerous to use. And I'm like, why not just use glass at that point?
No.
Every time somebody goes into the glass, like they slow it down to like half speed, so you can see, yes, that's really Jackie Chan's face being smushed into this.
That's really his fist going through glass, or the guy that does a million flips in the glass.
When they bash his head and it leaves that like perfect circle, I believe that cut him because that blood trickle coming off of him did not look fake. Yeah, I'm like, there's points in here where I was like, there's a limit, guys. Come on,
there's a dude that gets thrown into like glass on top, and then Jackie pretzels his body to hit the glass at the bottom. I'm like, that poor guy is dead. Leave him alone.
the guy like, on the front life, of the motorcycle dead. As he's running through all the glass cases.
Yeah, but have you ever wanted to hit a motherfucker with a motorcycle through a bunch of panels of glass before?
I have always wanted to ride a Yamaha with a dude on the front through the mall. That's Yeah, I was just picturing the scene from Karate Kid 2. It's like, how many blocks of ice? It's actually, how many dudes can I push through glass panels?
There's on a motorcycle. Gets hit in the back with a baseball bat, but the baseball bat has to go through glass first to make sure that the momentum of the glass slams into his back as well.
And then they use that bat while he fights with wardrobe rods, and there's an audible ting. Like, that's a real metal bat. They're swinging around recklessly. It may be choreographed, sir, but it is recklessly still choreographed. Reckless.
There's a dude that does a bunch of somersault flips into, like, a shoe display that's made of glass and lights and electric.
Jackie Chan gets flipped from a balcony into a pergola. And I'm like, the camera never cut.
Painful, dude.
That, I believe, is one that hurt him. Because I think there's one in the bloopers where they're all around him, like, trying to revive him.
He's got this hole in his head or something.
Oh, God. No, there's another movie he got a hole in his head.
Oh, okay.
And then I think it's the movie after this one. Nate, you said it's something God, something...
Armor of God.
Armor of God is the one that he was not breathing after one of the stunts. They immediately rushed him to the hospital because he wasn't there.
The man does this to his body to entertain us. As an adult, I'm just scared.
Was it Rumble in the Bronx where you can see where he breaks his ankle?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Onto a hovercraft or something and you can see it snap.
He jumps from building to building, if I remember correctly.
No, I thought he was jumping to a hovercraft.
So
he does a lot of jumps, man. I don't know.
You've got a great point.
So he jumps onto the fire escape, I think it is, and that's when he breaks his ankle.
Oh, that sounds right. Yep.
But the hovercraft is he came back after it was put into a cast, and they made a sock that fit over the cast that looked like his shoe. And he does the jump onto the hovercraft with a broken foot.
You're a maniac.
And that's only because I just watched it this weekend, and I always watch the bloopers of that one.
But that was Rumble in the Bronx, was it?
That was Rumble in the Bronx where he did that one.
The stunt in this one, like him getting knocked off and falling through, that looked painful. The way he thuds. There's another one, though, where it's a dude that he throws, and the guy lands in between two escalators, like in the small part.
I don't think that was planned. Like, I audibly went, ow!
I think that guy is stuck there to this day at that mall.
I had a mini panic attack. To get him out of there. Just like, you can't, there's no way, the force that wedged you in there, there's no easy way to get you back out. You know what I mean?
Your face is going to do that when you're getting him out. No one wants that to happen.
No. Stainless steel burn on your cheek.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Man. There's another guy that does like a flip and his chest lands on the escalator.
Yes. Yeah. All of the escalator tackling in this movie was just like, those things are hard.
And sharp on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That damn kid's on the escalator again.
Exactly. It was mind-boggling the amount of chaos and pain that they did to just put in this movie. Like this entire segment, it goes on for what feels like forever too.
It really does.
Like they get in that mall and I think there's still like 20 minutes left in the
movie. Something that's like that. That's where the memory of the movie is. It's like, that's throughout the whole thing, not realizing it's just the third act.
I'm actually starting to wonder, it's possible we got edited versions early on.
It's very well, because the American TV edit.
You could have cut out all of the courtroom stuff and never missed it. Like, seriously, you could have just had them yelling at each other in the office of the superior.
The courtroom scene would have been a quick cut of him being let go. That's what it would have been,
It easily could have been edited down because this one's like an hour 40. I believe they probably could have got it down to like an hour 20 with commercial breaks for a 2-hour runtime.
Sure.
So I believe we've probably seen edited versions.
I wonder. That's a great point. Yeah. Because
I
don't remember it the first time I saw it, but I did see it.
Makes sense though.
And it was something I was reading too about when America would get, like, this movie came out in 86. In America, it actually came out in 85. And they would, like, we've said this before on other movies, when it comes from overseas, they chop the hell out of it, you know, where it's almost a completely different movie. Brotherhood of the Wolf was one because it was filmed over there, and they chopped it up the first time it came out here. Bruce Lee movies, sometimes you never even realize what one you were watching. We got Chinese Connection, and it was never called that. It was Fist of Fury, you know, and it was had all kinds of stuff cut in and out of it. So I'm not surprised by that, but I was like watching this going, this is like the 20 minute final fight, all to lead up to, it's probably one of the greatest stunts, especially when you find out
what really happened. The story behind it all too, where it's just like, huh, so you did that. Probably could have died.
You did that without a safety net, without
one take
safety wires, one take,
and only
you
had
to
shot
do it fast because you had to get the hell out of the mall because the mall was going to open.
And it
the pole slide.
So they had been filming in this mall for months, from what I was reading, and basically the mall was like, we're tired of your shit. We're sweeping glass every fucking night. That's got to get out.
Sprinkle it on your ice cream. It's sugar,
right. Yeah. You know, they had a new topping over at the yogurt bar.
So, why does my pretzel taste funny?
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a piece of Jackie Chan. That's a, we're going to charge extra for that one.
Oh, is that an ear?
So they had like 1 or 2 days to just wrap it up, and so they're doing this big stunt, and it was planned, and they had a plan, and it was supposed to be all these lights that were hooked up to a car battery, and then they found out that the car battery wasn't strong enough to power the lights, so they're like, yeah, we'll just plug it in the wall. So there's 120 volts going through these Christmas lights. Is this movie a Christmas movie? There's Christmas,
like Christmas.
There's Christmas decorations all over the mall when I started looking. Yeah. So they were like, okay, we'll figure that part out. They had 4 cameras all around the stunt, and they had 400 feet of film left, which isn't a lot whenever you think about it. There is no let's reuse it. It was, you have 400 feet of film, so I'm guessing 100 per camera. He gets up to the top. They had a go signal, and they're like, he goes, when I nod my head, you'll start the cameras and we're a go. He got up there, a lot of commotions going on, and whoever at the bottom took Jackie adjusting his body and moving his neck as the go. And Jackie Chan said in his biography thing that he did, that he goes, I heard the cameras start and basically said to myself, it's now or never. And instead of getting a run and go to land on the 8 foot, the pole was 8 feet away. He did it right from there with no run and go jump. He jumped dead straight onto
it. I love that he like yells and then does the jump though.
He yells, does the jump, lands. Cameras are still running because he has to then immediately roll into a fight scene.
He has to do the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, because cameras are going, and he does, it's basically like one cut, and he gets down there, goes into the scene. They get done with it. He has second degree burns over his hands from sliding down the pole with all the light bulbs popping. 120 volts.
Light bulbs were plugged into the wall. They weren't plugged into the battery like they were supposed to be, just to have low voltage.
And like did all that, and then had to be rushed to the hospital, and then he still come back and finish the movie with.
And you know it's an awesome stunt when they show it another time and another
they
time.
They show
and
it
like,
3 times. I was like, yes.
In the credits, they showed it again.
Yeah, yeah, because you know what? I paid for that stunt. I'm gonna fucking use it in my film as much as I want.
I can't feel nothing with my hands to this day. You're going to show this as many times.
I have fingerprints.
You're lucky the movie didn't start out with that jump. It didn't show up in the middle. It's not. You're lucky that it isn't the trauma car that always explodes in every single movie. Anytime you need me.
Movie.
Yeah.
He slides down a pole. He could be in the desert, but he has to get down the pyramid.
He has to get down the desert.
It cuts to him sliding down a Christmas pole, and then he rolls out, and he's got an Indiana Jones hat on. Yeah. That's the movie I want to watch right there.
And that happens in Shanghai Rush.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're going to get. Shanghai Hour, and then whatever the other one was. We're just going to keep reusing it.
Whoa. These are pyramids.
Stop it.
Whoa. Ka-chow.
And then Ka-chow. We get... Ka-chow.
Lightning, it just hit the pyramid. Get it?
And then we get the movie that I swear to God, this is the first time I've ever seen Jackie Chan mad.
Oh, he get real mad. End.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a little temper.
He beat the shit out of those
Oh my
dudes.
God, dude. Uh-huh. It's one of those things you always kind of forget because of like the comedy and, you know, the Buster Keaton style
yes!
humor that he does with stunts.
We love Jackie Chan because he's such a sweetie. Oh, shit.
But how fast he is, dude.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
He took out that lawyer dude, the other dude with the broken glasses, and then his cop buddies held the main boss so he could beat the shit out of the main boss. And then knocked him through some more glass. I was like, we're getting all the glass. We had three panes. We didn't break it, Jackie. Set them up over there. I
just got glares at them.
We're going to use these.
We're breaking everything. Sugar, very expensive. We're going to break all of them. And then it just ends. Like,
yeah.
It ends with a really weird song being played.
Yeah. I think that's Jackie Chan singing.
That is Jackie Chan singing. Yeah. I found out today that Jackie Chan sings in most of his movies.
What? Yeah. I didn't know this. Wow.
Jackie Chan.
And it's not a bad voice.
Sang in the Mulan release in China for. We get down to business. That's Jackie Chan singing that over there on whenever he dubbed the lines for, I forget the main dude's name, but he played.
My mind is being blown right now.
Yeah, it's not going to align the planets and bring world peace, but he's got a nice voice.
It was in one of the trailers I watched today. It was just the Jackie Chan song. And if I hadn't found the English one, that was going to be the one I was going to play. So that's all I wanted. You guys were going to listen to the Jackie Chan song. But
if you've seen enough Kung Fu movies from Hong Kong and older than this one is, they end abruptly.
They do all end abruptly. Abruptly, and then they also have a weird song every time.
Yeah.
What's the one we watched? Whatever the one.
The Cub?
No, the funny one with
Monkey,
the
Kung Fu.
Monkey Kung Fu. It ends like just out of nowhere.
Like
I'm like, that's
smacks you across the face. We're done.
Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure the bad guy still was alive at the end. I'm not 100% sure, but no, this was, and it like nothing got resolved. Like you just held your superior hostage at gunpoint, then let him go. Then you've beaten a man who was in custody. And everyone was trying to kill you. This guy pushed your girlfriend down the stairs twice. No one checked to see if she was okay at the end of the movie.
She'll be all right.
They even use it like, look what he did to her. And that's when like Jackie Chan really got like hulked out.
Yeah.
Like whenever he realized that they hurt her. And I was
look,
just
it's
like,
no fun to see the consequences of your actions. You just got to stop it right before that happens. Just a good happy ending.
Boom. And then Police Story 2 starts and everybody's fine and happy.
And he's in shackles.
Yeah. That's the funny part. No,
it's like Rambo 2 when he's in the work camp and
Police
Jackie Chan's breaking rocks.
Starts and everybody's friends again. It's hilarious.
Uncle Bill's back, you know.
Yeah, like, clearly.
Uncle Bill's back, yeah. I did watch.
His girlfriend gets upset at him for something.
I watched 1 and 2 back to back just because it's on Max. So and that was a hell of a night, man. Let me tell you.
I'm gonna watch part
night.
Two.
It was a great night.
I was so worried.
Like that... two as much, but it's still worth watching. It's still worth watching. Absolutely,
it was. It's fun. It's a lot more fun than this one. It doesn't have the crazy action.
After rewatching part one, now I'm like, well, now I got to do what Pete did. Yeah.
I wanted to watch it, but I was so worried that Rumble in the Bronx skewed my thoughts. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want to watch part two before we record, because then I may even hate this movie more. Not that I'm not saying that I hate it, but just being like, I don't get it. I don't like the tone. I can say I actually hate the tone of this movie.
Or is the tone unbalanced? It's just,
it's
trying.
Pick
a lane, I suppose.
Yeah, pick a lane.
I hate that phrase, but
this is it.
Right,
it's
trying to be too
apt here. exactly what you were saying, where he, it feels like he's showing everyone what he can do, but he did it all in one movie. And it's like, that was a mistake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can all look at this and go, this is one of the greatest stunt led movies Jackie Chan's ever done. But as far as a movie to keep me engrossed and, you know, I'm like, no, I'm like, I like parts of this, but on the all together, I was like, not probably doesn't even crack my top 10 of Jackie Chan movies. And I don't know if I've seen 10 Jackie Chan movies.
No, you have. The man's been in a million movies. You just probably haven't realized it.
I see Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3. Shanghai Noon. The Tuxedo for sure. I've now seen this one, but it's not in my top 10. Cannonball Run 2, Rumble in the Bronx, and I'm sure Drunken Master I have seen. So, yeah, this is like number 11 or 12.
Legend or the original?
I watched the original because I messaged you guys the other day. It was like... That was one of the ones Jackie Chan didn't dub himself,
which is the worst, man.
It was so.
It should be in his contract that he has to dub himself.
I gotta.
And then if it's really old, he has to dub every other character in the movie too. Like that should be the rules.
It was on Tubi, and whatever cut that one was, I was like, that ain't Jackie Chan. There's even moments in this movie I'm like, is Jackie Chan actually talking? Like. He doesn't sound Jackie Chan to me. The song does, but there are parts in this movie where I'm like, did he dub all of this? Because there's some.
Oh, did you watch you watched this dubbed?
I watched it with subtitles. Whatever was
matched. Yeah, I watched the subtitles. But yeah, I get it. Where just parts where it doesn't sound like him.
It didn't sound like him.
But also, I'm so used to just hearing Jackie Chan speak in English. Now, that when Drunken Master 2 came out, I remember making my family rent that one at Blockbuster for movie night, and no one was happy with me, but I was really happy because
it's a great movie. It's so silly.
But because it's not like what Rumble in the Bronx is, or like anything that's like Americanized, like it's just straight up old school kung fu.
I was having
a blast as a kid with it. It's, you know, it's poorly dubbed and all that fun stuff, but I remember the family not being happy. That's what got picked for the movie night.
That's all right. Little Nate was happy, and that's all that matters. So, all right, boys, what do you think? We get into the things now?
I don't want to hear Little Nate being happy. That's gross.
Yeah, no.
Little Nate was just full of life.
He was still able to eat ice cream.
Just body.
Yeah.
Body count.
Could eat
body
ice cream. Count. I could have nachos.
Do you mean Young count. Nate or Little Nate?
That's Little Nate.
So, guys, I ran into an issue here. When you type in police story kill count, a lot of news articles pop up.
USA, USA.
Are
USA.
You on a list, Charlie?
I might be on a list.
So this and HK got you on some serious lists here. I'm so
and
happy.
I was like, wait, police story movie kill count. Like,
that was any better.
It didn't help it. Movie theater.
If anything, this is just how many boo-boos did people acquire and how much glass was broken.
So
at least get that report.
I was able to actually go into All Out of Bubblegum, which is the normal website I usually just go to. But sometimes it'll just pop up when I Google it.
Sure.
So I went in there, I looked it up, and I went, huh. Don't know if I believe this, but the official tally is 7.
Okay.
But as we were talking earlier in the show, I'm pretty sure 70 some odd people died in that hillside car chase.
Was 7 actual deaths in the movie or just
there people just died, like that one cop dude we didn't talk about they set him up.
Stunts anyway.
That's what I mean, the 72. I'm pretty sure 72 people literally died in the making of this movie. But the official count's 7 for movie storytelling wise.
That even feels high. Like
it does. And
I don't feel like anyone dies in this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like they all just get knocked out.
There's a couple people that get just shot straight out. Like, okay, that guy.
You know, that's true. The guy that, you know, got shot was framed.
When the guy pissed his pants. It was just after he shot somebody that had surprised him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy that got shot by the Dirty Harry gun that the bad guys had out of nowhere. Like, everyone's shooting these little tiny 32 specials, you know, shooting them around, and all of a sudden the camera cuts and there is a 357 Magnum come around the corner with this one dude holding it. Doesn't aim it, because I don't think you needed to. It just blows people away with the gun.
Just pull the trigger.
The barrel was huge. I was like, I know what that is. So yeah, we're going to call it 7.
All right.
It also means I don't technically think there is a kill of the week in this, really. But I think we should
do stunt of the week.
Yeah. I was going to say we're going to do stunt of the week, but I'm still going to play my
drum. Killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
Because more than likely these stunts would kill normal people.
So, yes, very true.
Nate, won't you start us off, get the ball rolling, and tell us your favorite stunt of Police Story?
I got to say, man, everything with that first chase scene, Jackie Chan rolling down the hill, getting the bus to stop. That bus is going really fast at him, slams on its brakes, doesn't touch him, but then you see three guys fall face first out of the, it's a double decker bus, so two of the guys are coming mm-hmm. through the glass at the top, like, and they just land on the concrete on there's no neck. Pad
no, that's because that wasn't planned.
What?
They didn't realize that when the brakes on the bus would lock up because they're air brakes, they actually, like, the bus comes forward then backwards really quickly, like all of the mass shifts. Oh, and they were so close to the front and lost, because they're on a hill too. So all the forward momentum, the people still had it and crashed through the front windshields. That was not planned.
Oh, it's my
a
God.
Hell of a way to get your intro to a movie. Oh, it's so badass.
Yeah, it's. They tried the umbrella stunt with a wooden umbrella handle and they kept breaking it. So they had to switch it to a metal one and he still bent it in several scenes. Yeah. And then they had to keep switching it out with a straight one.
Oh,
whenever they would
so
do close
terrifying.
Yeah. The scene where he's like trying to go around the side of the bus to get to the windows. You could see that umbrella is like,
oh, it's fully bent. Yeah.
And it's like, I would not trust that when it was fully straight. Now I'm really not feeling right? scared for you, Jack.
Now we have weakened it. So yeah, that was a good one. Troy, what about you, bud? What's your favorite stunt?
Oh, I'm so torn. There, like the whole scene when all of the guys jump out, like after the fake killer tried to get the girl, and then they go outside and they get ambushed in the parking lot, which we never talked about.
Oh,
that
yeah.
whole scene where he's going through windows and like punching people Dude. Through the car. And it was all, that was ballet. It was gorgeous. And honestly, that was probably my favorite sequence.
Yeah. I feel stupid for not even talking about that. Like when he throws the one guy through like the front windshield, just the way that guy like lands and gets pretzeled.
There's one part where he dives into a car and then like he does kind of like a somersault out the other window on the other side of the car.
Yeah.
Just flows Magic. Through that car, and it was mind-blowing. I love that whole scene. My whole favorite scene.
When Jackie Chan, I think he fits something similar in a lot of his movies, jumping through something very small and then coming out the other end. Like, I think at Rumble in the Bronx, it's the shopping cart where he goes through the shopping cart backwards and comes out. There's another one that he goes under like a bank teller. It might be Rush Hour, where he tries to slide under the Las Vegas casino where they got the money and the chips, and he slides under and goes through the little opening, and it's in one of the bloopers that he gets stuck, like stuck bad, and they're all trying to support him. That he just has this, how small is it? I can fit, and he just runs at it and goes. I swear he does that in like every movie now, and it's amazing.
I just wonder why he does it with a ladder that always blows my mind.
Oh, the ladder one.
Or a bench.
He fights a dude in the ladder. Like he goes in and out of the rungs.
That's first strike. That's Police Story 4.
He's got it on his neck and he's like spins it around his neck and
So I have definitely seen Police Story 4 then, okay?
I have too.
That's the one, it's like on the snow with the snowboard to like the helicopter. Yeah.
It feels like a James Bond like movie almost.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen that one. All right, Pete, what about you, bud? What's your favorite stunt?
So I was I was thinking about it this whole podcast. I'm like, you know what? The best scene easily is the two big scenes in this are just jaw dropping, but yeah. My favorite was going to be the playground scene. But then I realized that was in Police Story 2. And I went, ah, shit.
Did I miss something else in this movie?
Where was that one?
No, that's my fault. Cause I'm thinking about, boy, how can you guys not like this playground scene? It's amazing. Oh shit. I watched these two movies back to back and I'm getting them all mixed up.
That's why I don't do that before.
I know. That's my fault. I gotta say that you can't deny that end scene being so amazing or the whole leveling of the city, but as far as an individual effort, it's the umbrella hopping on a moving bus using
it's so scary
umbrella and you're looking at this going, he ran up to this, jumped with an umbrella to get a hold of this, there's no wires here,
they take a sharp turn,
he's doing this all by himself because he's fucking Jackie Chan. And it's astounding. And you're so like, my butt is puckered through this whole thing going, oh God, please don't fall. Please don't fall. And I mean, he's still with us.
And
today,
he gets thrown off of the bus too.
All over the place.
Yeah. Cause he's on the bus.
Yeah.
Then he gets thrown off the bus and he has to get back in front of the bus by making a car stop in the middle of the road. And then you get the guys flying out. I mean, it's
can you imagine being the guy that had to get out of the window and pretend to kick at Jackie Chan as he's literally holding onto the side of a bus, and so you got to make it look like you're kicking at him, but not actually kick the poor guy that is hanging off the side of the bus.
I got to give props to the bus driver also for maintaining speed and not shaking Jackie Chan off.
That's because in the movie. And it didn't tell you this, but it was a subplot that if that bus went under 55, it would explode. That way, Jackie Chan could really up the ante on how dangerous the stunt was.
That was actually Sandra Bullock's stunt double driving the bus.
Yeah.
If you pause speed at the right point, it's that guy with a wig and a Wildcat jacket on and a sundress.
He's in the same wig, though, that they're wearing in the courtroom scene.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie, you're up, dude.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, we've talked about some of the great stunt scenes and stunt work, but I am actually going to give it to the one that the first time I watched it, I was like, what the hell's going on? But the second time I am watching the dance and it's literally the guy trying to stab the witness girl and fighting all through the house. Because once you realize he's not trying to stab her and you watch it a second time, you're like, just the timing to keep things for the first time you ever watch it, you feel like he's just missing her. But the second time you watch, you're like, oh, I get the joke now. And it is, there's also the great joke when he loses the mask and he tries to cover his face up with his hand.
And still trying to like fight her off, basically.
He slashes at the pillow, which that moment, the first time I went at like, oh shit, he's like trying to kill her. And feathers go everywhere and they get inside his mask when he puts it back on and he chases her and he lifts the mask and blows feathers out of his mouth and puts the mask back on.
Good joke.
I was losing it. And then her trying to beat the shit out of him while Jackie Chan's Weekend at Bernie-ing this poor dude.
Oh, man.
All that sequence is like a ballet and I absolutely adored it. It was well done. But there's not a bad stunt in this movie.
There isn't.
Period. Like any of these could have been picked. Obviously, the best stunt is the pole.
Indeed.
You know, when you tell someone about it, yeah, he slides down a giant column and they're like, okay, six stories. And it's not a fireman's pole. It's think and Commando and the giant poles that he swings off the balloons. Those poles. That's what he slid
down. That's what it is.
Yeah. It's just insane. So. All right, boys. Well, let's do this part. Let's rate this. Those might actually be from this movie. I'm not.
Could be. It could be where I did to the bad guy at the very end.
This is what he did to the poor glass guy when he ran out of glass at the end of the day.
What do you mean we're out of glass?
If you want to update this, just go back to that trailer and take a little clip.
Yeah, I could just take
part
of the trailer. There's a lot of that going on.
I'm just going to get Jackie Chan singing, honestly. That's just what I
that's
would
a, that's, I'm okay with that. You can do that.
All right. Troy, let's start with you, Bubba. What are you going to rank Police Story?
Oh, there's so much action, so little plot, but you're not here for the plot. Mm-mm. You're here for the action. Mm-hmm. It's eight. Mm-hmm. It's an eight.
Yeah.
I love this movie. It was so much fun.
All right. Let's see. So technically, Pete picked this. So Nate, what about you, bud? What are you going to rate this?
God, I've been struggling with this because I do really like this movie, but I am aware that there are better Jackie Chan movies that we could cover for sure. But I'm glad that, you know, Charlie and Troy got to watch this for the first time. It, you know, it's just one of those, like, this is an action pedigree that, you know, you have to see. Even as I'm watching it going, did we pick the right one? You know what? There's plenty more in the well to choose from.
We got to watch more.
I know, right? And it, to the point of even Troy being like, we didn't even talk about a beautifully choreographed fight scene, you know, like, there is some meat on this bone. It's a 7.5 for me, but it feels like it could be an 8. Like, it, I like this movie. I will be watching this movie again, you know, without a problem. I just feel like at this point now, I've been slowly buying Jackie Chan movies, stacking them up. So that will be like, this is going to usher in me like finally sitting down with a lot that I have bought.
Yeah, it would be higher, but there are scenes you can actually skip, right? You know?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go next and want Pete to go last. I actually was struggling really hard with this and making sure. It's why I watched it a second time. Like, I should feel better about this movie than I do. I am really glad you guys are at least understanding where I'm coming from with some of the issues I have. Stunts aside, it's not a great movie. Throw in the stunts and the charismaticness of Jackie Chan, that really elevates it a lot. But I think I'm going to hit it with a 6.5. It's still a recommend. It's still, if this is your bag. And let's remember, Charlie is not the martial art movie guy the podcast.
Yep.
I'm the running gunner. But also, I'm going to point out there's a lot of effing guns at the beginning of this movie, Pete.
A lot of guns.
For a man, it's like, weird. Anytime you see Jackie Chan use a gun, any movie where he uses a gun, I'm like, that's not right. He's supposed to be like dismantling that gun and beating people up with the pieces of it.
He has crafted that type of person that he is. It's why he has turned down huge movies because he doesn't want to be a villain. He was supposed to be Simon Phoenix in Demolition Man.
Oh, wow.
He's best friends with Sylvester Stallone. And Stallone, like,
Stallone's ass.
And Stallone's like, I want you in this movie. And he goes, I don't want to be a villain. And I've read that he has turned down a lot of roles because it's either a little on the gray side or they want him to be a bad guy. And he's like, I don't want to do it. It doesn't fit who I am. He has molded this character, Jackie Chan, into what he is. He's also like the poster child of no drugs in China. And big thing about his kid got busted and he went like on public, like, you know, we are so sorry that anyone had to, you know, see this. My son is very, very sorry. I don't understand. Like, please don't do this. Please do not do drugs. Like, it was a huge ordeal for him when that happened. So he's kind of crafted this, and I don't want to say facade because it's not a facade. He has just honed himself into wholesomeness, I guess is the right word. When I think of Jackie Chan, I think of like wholesomeness. You know, I think that's
a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Like The Foreigner, the one he did with Pierce Brosnan maybe like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's one of those like darker, serious roles he did that's really good as well.
It's good. Like,
he plays a different character type all around.
Yeah.
That's a very dark, dramatic, slight action.
Slight action. I was a little like caught off guard. I did see that one and I was like, this isn't like,
it's not what you expect.
Yeah, no, it's not. But Pete, you picked this, you brought it to the table. What are you ranking Police Story?
As far as the action is concerned, it's unquestionably at 11.
Oh, absolutely. I will agree with you 100%.
These are iconic scenes in action that need to be preserved and talked about and praised, because I don't think you can do this stuff anymore. The disregard for human safety and life are prevalent in this movie. It's like there is no OSHA in China. These people, here's your paycheck, do what I say. And I think you have to be on board with what Jackie Chan is doing to do this. There's nobody on set that doesn't want to be there. So right. they are giving their all because they're in a Jackie Chan movie and they're going to be part of something special. I don't know if you can make a movie like this today. And I know the car scene and the bus scene, like I think it was Tango and Cash. I remember that movie. That the bus scene is like shot for shot,
pretty close.
Those guys falling out of the bus, that was damn near shot for shot. And then what did you say?
It's Fast Bad and Boys Furious 2? And Bad Boys 2 and Fast and the Furious both. And have done,
so they've cars, done that
the favelas.
Too.
Yeah.
However, I don't think they had people running around as cars are driving over them.
No, there was definitely nothing like that.
This kind of movie can't be done today without a lot of different safety precautions, and I'm kind of glad for that, because you watch this movie and I'm like, I'm legitimately concerned for these people. And absolute 11 for action, because man, but that courtroom drama in the middle of it, boy, that just slowed everything down. It isn't Jackie's best, but I try not to grade movies against movies. It's a strong recommendation. It's still an 8, though. It's an 8. Go watch this movie.
Going lower. I'm
and
surprised.
Just
yeah.
No, it's an 8. It's a strong 8. I wanted to go higher, but boy, it does really slow down in the middle, and it seems to be
noticeably.
I don't want to say too many cooks in the kitchen, but
no, too many Jackies. Too many
it was one cook tub. With too many ingredients, and
too many ingredients.
The problem was the ingredients were all on 4 different countertops, and somehow he was trying to toss them all behind him and catch them all at the same time.
The phone rang. He had to answer it.
And then company came over quick, and you just throw it all on a casserole. And
somebody brought 4 cakes. Right, he had flashback,
and he's like, "I already got cake. I'm trying to make cake now." What do we give Jackie Chan's parking job? You know, what do we rate that?
That's a 10.
Even
the guy he stole the parking from went, it's a good parking job.
I believe 1,000% that he parked that car. Was it him?
I believe it was.
I have no idea. I didn't look it up.
I have no reason to believe.
That's the way Jackie parks all of his cars.
Yeah.
The way that was shot.
As he should. He's earned it.
That's fair. That little white car went through hell in this poor movie. Really did. That's all I can say. Yeah. There's a point it doesn't have back doors at some point in this movie, and they're still driving it. That poor little car. I felt bad for it, but all right. This is going to hurt, but Nate, you got a trash opinion for this movie?
I do. It took a while.
Okay. I'm the trash man.
That's good.
I come out. I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's gonna be a disaster.
All right, this comes from Tallwood 13 in 2023.
Really?
Yes.
Tallwood.
I mean, maybe that's their name.
No,
that was my nickname in high school.
I believe it. I would have called you Treebeard.
I was 16.
I would have asked you to carry me everywhere. I'd be your little hobbit in your pocket.
It'd have been with me. It'd have been more like a Master Blaster situation.
What'd you say, Blaster?
Who runs Border Town?
He gave it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
If you're here for the action, watch the start and the last half of the movie. The opening driving scene where the car is plowing through all those shanties, and the scene at the very end, Jackie Chan almost died in real life doing, are certainly some highlights. Besides that, it's just borderline soap opera like filler. The story is overdone. Yes, this movie is almost 40 years old, but still, the female cast members interested in Jackie seem to be 15 or 20 years younger than Jackie on this ego trip. It's almost like Neil Breen, Mark Wahlberg in the movie Ted, and most fat Steven Seagal movies, mostly Steven in The World's Greatest Actor. The comedy in it falls flat. Maybe it's lost in translation. The dubbing may have been what made me dislike this movie as much as I did, as the voice actors did a lousy job. I wouldn't be able to watch this again. I'd find better things to do, like trim my nails or making my bed.
So he watched the dub, which I'm automatically going to say, yeah, that probably affected it.
That's a problem.
I'm not going to disagree with him about the fact that it has the courtroom
scene. He had some valid points.
He actually did.
But even saying, like, the women that he acted alongside Jackie were younger, it's like, no, I guarantee they're probably all the same age. Like,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't even think it's a stereotype at this point. Most women there look younger for a long
period.
That's
not a stereotype.
Of time.
Yeah.
Michelle, and then it's like, what?
Is still an absolute gorgeous woman. God,
but
gorgeous.
Then one day, they look like the little old lady from Mulan who is trying to send her granddaughter off to war. I'm trying to keep it on topic. We talked about Mulan, so it works. It's just like one day you wake up in the morning. Ah, grandma. You're like, I'm your wife. Okay. I think he's a little low, but I'm not going to like to. In the comedy, I think lands, but I think it's because. But I think he had the same problem I had. It's like either be a comedy or be a serious police drama story with stunts in the middle. So
he didn't like the soap opera, the soap opera drama.
Yeah,
that's what
I don't
said.
Know what the soap opera.
I don't
means.
Know. I guess I kind of
guess just the drama,
the
courtroom drama that's poorly put together. Yeah, I've seen it in soap operas, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. We're dissecting this poor guy, and you know, just
he's not worth it anyway. No.
Anyway, sorry, police story. Is definitely still a high recommend for us. This is our very first Jackie Chan movie, even though Jackie Chan's been in the show already. And if we're gonna, he was. I'd say go back and listen to it, but that was way early in our show. Don't go back.
Yeah, that episode probably sucks for all we know.
Yeah, the movie didn't. Fist Fury.
No, movie's awesome. Movie.
Yeah, the dub on that one's not good either.
No, it's really bad.
Don't watch these things dubbed. Watch them subtitled.
There's certain kung fu movies you must watch dubbed because it's the only way.
Fair.
Yeah, that's true.
USA had in the afternoons in the 80s, yeah, they just watch those dubbed.
There's just some that like you absolutely have to.
Especially if you grew up with it only dubbed and then you try to watch it, you're like, this doesn't feel right. I definitely get that. Although I will say I do like the dubbed version of Kung Fu Hustle better than the subtitled one, just because I think it adds an extra layer
I can see that, but there are some jokes that aren't in the dub version that are in the subtitle.
Yeah,
really? They hit so much better in the subtitle. Yeah,
you're not wrong about that. So honestly, watch both. But yeah, sometimes it's, you know, choose your own poison.
We covered
that one,
Troy, a couple years ago.
We'll need to.
Do I have to go back and watch the dub version now or the subtitle? I think
I've only seen the subtitle version because that was when I saw it in theaters. That's what they played was the subtitle version.
I think in theaters it did, but the first time I rented it, it was the dubbed version. And then there's now whenever it's streaming, it'll either say dubbed or
sub.
Just
whichever. Because back then they didn't. So it was kind of like, oh, shit, this is subtitle, really? But it wasn't a big deal because it was like me and one other person in the entire theater.
Good streaming services will have both.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Hustle, I could watch back to back both ways, though. That was
you could. Yeah. You could. And honestly, that's a background movie for me. I can just turn it on and enjoy the hell out of it. So maybe eventually we'll throw another Jackie Chan movie in the mix. Hopefully it doesn't take us another 3 years to get to.
Shit.
One day we will do Rush Hour.
Can we
hour.
See more Jackie Chan and Steven Seagal?
I feel like we need equal amount now.
No, less Seagal. Seagal?
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 What did I? What? Who? What?
That's actually in his IMDb that he's friends with Steven Seagal. So, you know, there's that.
Jackie Chan is friends with Steven Seagal?
Well, yeah. Just like on Wikipedia, if you pay the right amount of money, you can take whatever you want. And Steven Seagal probably broke that guy's neck.
Editing is only.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to see if someone interviews him and goes, you know, who can kick your ass? And someone say Jackie Chan. And then he really has to stop and think like, oh, maybe. Wow. Now you're talking serious.
Do you want me to laugh in your face?
Because I wouldn't, because Jackie Chan is the king. That's what he would say.
But I'm the emperor.
How many times have we said his name tonight? Anyway.
We're close.
I was going to say.
Fucking knock it off, fellas. Let's wrap this up.
All right, close. Let's get us out of here. All right, everybody. So thanks for checking us out on our what the hell ever May month that we're doing.
It's just normal podcasting. That's allowed to happen.
The hell are we? Speaking of which, what the hell are we doing next week, Nate?
What are we doing next week? Is it Pet Sematary?
I think it's Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
But this is going to be a little bit of a different episode. You're going to have special guests from all sorts of different podcasts. And once I figure out who all those are, once they confirm everything, then it's happening. So
this is all Nate's idea.
They all said they were going to do it.
Nate is putting this together.
Have you
procrastinated? I am not.
No, I didn't procrastinate. It's up to the other people if they procrastinate or not.
It's whether or not people, he reminded people.
Maybe other people like Josh, when it's just said, question mark, what are you talking about? And I was just like, oh, God damn it, dude.
So there might be an episode about Pet Sematary, the original 1980s.
It might happen. We'll see.
With Tasha Yar. Yeah, Tasha Yar. Love me some Tasha Yar.
I will only be doing the episode in my really, really well done main accent.
You have a main accent.
I have a main accent. Nope, it's a whole episode.
Wait.
We'll have to see if Steven and Leo will approve of said accent.
I'm going to talk like Jed the entire night.
I'm not going to reveal mine just yet. Then
I think it's time for a commercial break.
We'll all do main accents.
Nope.
That's an Ohio accent. I need you to do a little bit more, a little bit northern, east.
Okay, here's
add some Canada into that Ohio.
Yeah,
you'll get closer.
Okay, there it is.
He's like, yeah, there. Nailed it. Got it.
Nailed it.
Troy already left the show.
Yeah, Troy's like, and this is the part where I leave.
He's like, guys, this is normal time. Why are we padding it out?
I had to look up who Tasha Yar was.
Tasha Yar.
No, that's why I can't find her.
Star Trek.
Who the hell is Tasha Yar?
You're a nerd, Troy. You should know who Tasha Yar is.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, her.
I gotcha.
Okay.
We may or may not have been on another podcast. I don't know. The whole timeline's screwed right now. I don't think our Ninja Turtle episode comes out until maybe this week that you're hearing this week.
You keep saying that for the past month and a half.
He finally just released the first one today or yesterday. So
were we on another? Oh,
we did number podcast. 3. So we're way later. I don't know.
We were.
I may be on Flicks and Friends by now covering Double Dragon for Video Game Month. I don't know.
Cool.
So we'll see. You'll see us when you see us. If you want to see us, make sure you're following us over on Facebook at Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Both of us are on Instagram under those names. We are on X. We are on Threads. We are on TikTok. We are on YouTube. You can find us anywhere. Rank us over at Spotify and Apple. Give us the 5 stars. Write us a review on Apple. We appreciate it. It really does help the algorithm. It just kind of shows. You like this show, you may like these assholes.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much what it says.
Rate it. Contest will happen. Rate it. You're listening. I want you to pull out your phone. I want you to pull out your iPad and just click on it and click on the stars. And you did it. Good job. High five.
Nate's over here just like, whip it out and touch it.
High five.
All right.
You did it. Yeah.
We did it. All right, gentlemen. Are we done for today?
I think so.
Please.
All right. Nate, you going to get us out of here?
Now, Charlie, what's the good word?
Wow.
Ka-chow, ka-chow.
Oh, you can't end it like that. That's not even in this movie.
No.
It is now.
You know something from this movie, Pete.
That's how we end it. Wow. It's fun. It's my best friend. Wow.
It's going to be
part eight
of Police Story. Police Story Shanghai Edition.
Quick, they kidnapped Chris Tucker. We got to go get him.
Oh, how do you say Mushu? Where do we get some Mushu? Jackie.
No, I'm
wow.
Not,
that's a food, right?